This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers in Islam, I encourage myself and you to fear no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah azza wa jalla states in the Holy Quran. All those who believe, fear Allah the way he should be feared, and do not die unless you are in the state of Islam. My brothers in Islam, a few days ago, we started the new Hijra year, a year which commemorates and marks 1,441 years after the great migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the first revelation by the age of 40, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first wahi revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a few months after that, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir. O the one that's covered in the blankets, get up and warn. Wa rabbaka fakabbir, and glorify your Lord. To the end of the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it carries the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously took upon this great mission. And he alayhi salatu wa salam strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in calling to Allah azza wa jal and promoting Islam within his own people. 13 years where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca. 13 years of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enduring hardships and predicaments. 13 years at the beginning of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are tortured and persecuted. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are physically and verbally abused. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum have been attacked just because they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God except Allah, and Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. 13 years, all sorts of punishments and torture were exercised against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam will continue pursuing the da'wah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue calling to Allah azza wa jal, and nothing holds him back. And why should anything hold him back when he's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to remind the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have patience, endure hardships, and at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit you into the Jannah before you encounter and you experience what the previous nations before you had encountered and experienced, where the Prophet and his followers will continue to encounter and continue to experience hardships and the grounds are shaken under them? وَزُلْزِلُوا. They were shaken until the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we're talking about prophets and messengers in the previous nations and the followers of this Prophet and Messenger will say, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the victory of Allah? We've experienced hardships. We've experienced torture. We've experienced persecution and injustice. When is the victory of Allah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back and says, Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Indeed. Indeed, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. Yes, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised When you sacrifice, Allah will grant you victory. And Allah will fulfill His promise. But it's all about enduring hardships. It's all about staying persistent. It's all about steadfastness. It's all about continuing on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. When is the victory of Allah? Allah replies back and says, the victory of Allah is near. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had experienced all sorts of torture and persecution because they called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they believed in Allah Azza wa Jal. They were punished, they were killed, they were tortured just because they said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Including your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, many occasions, alayhi salatu wa sallam, not only verbally who be abused and called all sorts of names and been made mockery of, your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, these days you'll be walking down the street or you come across someone that will look at you and say, oh, you're a Muslim, go back where you came back from. Go back where you came from. Go back home. You're Muslim this and you're Muslim that. And then subhanAllah, it puts us in a position where some people start thinking about changing their Islamic identity because they feel the pressure. If someone has a beard, they go and shave their beard and just wearing the hijab, he takes it off and his name is Muhammad or Ahmed, he goes and changes it. Because of the pressure they feel. Well, your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a lot more than what you are experiencing if you do experience it. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had experienced by far a lot more than what some of us do experience sometimes. Yes, Islam is under attack. And yes, Muslims are in the spotlight. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had experienced a lot worse. Some of them were killed, others were tortured, and others were punished. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu experiences with his own eyes his mother and father embraced Islam being killed just because they said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And what does the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Alayhi salatu wa sallam will go past them while they are being punished by the people of Quraysh. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam doesn't have much of help or support to help them except to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he says, Sabran ya ala Yasir fa inna maw'idakum al jannah. Have patience, O the family of Yasir, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you the Jannah. Fa inna maw'idakum al jannah. Your ending is going to be the Jannah. And you could imagine this believing young man sees his old mother and father being killed right in front of him just because they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Ethiopian African Muslim, he was a slave and then he embraced Islam, and because he embraced Islam he was tortured, he was persecuted, he was mocked, he was put right in the middle of the desert on the hot sand with a big massive rock on his body. And his master was saying to him, say something against Muhammad. Say something against Islam. Believe in the idols that I believe in. And his ongoing words will be, Ahadun Ahad, there is no God except Allah. There is no God except Allah. Then the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum later on were amazed. They were amazed from all the hardships and all the torture that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu encountered and experienced, and was still strong and perseverant. They asked him, how did you handle this? How did you handle this punishment? How did you bear it? He said, the sweetness of Iman had mixed with the pain and the agony of torture. But alhamdulillah, the sweetness of Iman had overweighed and overpowered the agony of torture. Subhanallah. And many examples that we can talk about. Many examples that we can talk about, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when once alayhi salatu wa sallam is praying next to the Kaaba. And then one of the chiefs of the people of Quraysh will encourage another person to go and talk to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he grabs a garment and chokes the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Imagine someone who's probably considered to be one of the worst of people on the face of this earth. one of the scummiest of people, grabs a cloth or grabs a garment and puts it around the neck of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and chokes him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues to have patience. Another occasion when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is praying, and then the chiefs of the people of Quraysh will start motivating one another for them to do something against the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So one of them goes and carries all the dirt and the guts of a slaughtered camel and puts it on the back of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is prostrating to Allah in front of the Kaaba. All this just because they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, once he was walking to his house, and the people of Quraysh will make mockery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and throw dust on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam enters his house and his little daughter will come to him, Fatima. She cleans the dust away from the face and the head of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam so optimistic in the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the victory of Allah. And he says to his little daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, O daughter, don't be sad. Don't worry. Allah will give victory to your father. Optimism. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaning his back to the Kaaba one day. And Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arad will come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to him, O Messenger of Allah, you are the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. And you are the one that Allah had chosen, you are the one that Allah accepts his dua. Ask Allah to make it easy on us. We can't handle it anymore. We can't handle this anymore. Every single day, torture. And persecution. Just because we believe in Allah, we follow you. And we do believe in Allah. And we do believe in you. And we believe that if you ask Allah, Allah will accept. So ask Allah to make it easy on us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets up. And he gets up alayhi salatu wasalam angry. And he says to Al-Khabbab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says, By Allah, it used to be to the people before you, where they used to be brought just because they used to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they used to be brought by their enemies and they used to be chopped into two pieces just to turn back on Islam, and nothing will turn them back on Islam. And they used to be combed with iron combs, ripping their flesh from their bones, for them to turn back on Islam, and nothing will turn them back on Islam. And by Allah, Allah will give me victory, and Allah will fulfill His promise to me, and Allah will spread Islam to the extent that a woman from the other side of the Arabian Peninsula will travel by herself, coming to the Kaaba, coming to Mecca, by herself. She doesn't fear no one but Allah. And the shepherd will travel from one city to another city, leaving behind his herd, fearing no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill His promise. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in rush and hurry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, you are people in rush and hurry. You want Allah's victory right now. Just because we became a Muslim, that's it. Allah promised us victory, that's it. We want the victory today. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And who are the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum? The greatest of people after the prophets and the messengers. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guaranteed pleasure, and others Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guaranteed paradise. The best of people after prophets and messengers. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to them, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in rush and hurry. Yes! Allah Azza wa Jal is the Lord of the universe. And yes, I'm the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And yes, Islam is the true religion. And yes, Allah had promised victory for us as Muslims. And yes, Allah had promised that the truth will prevail over falsehood. And yes, Allah Azza wa Jal had promised they will give us an opening. But Allah didn't say now. Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Almighty didn't say it's going to happen just because you said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's a process. And the process is, yes, you embrace Islam, then you implement Islam, then you stand for Islam, then you are encountered with hardship, and when you continue staying strong, Allah will give you victory. But it's Allah's decree. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree when Allah azza wa jalla wants that victory to come down. مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. What is the victory of Allah? Indeed, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in rush and hurry. And who's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing? He's addressing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, those who sacrificed their life, those who sacrificed their wealth, those who sacrificed everything they have in their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What would he say to us? How much have we sacrificed for Islam? If they were in rush and hurry, we are a lot more in rush and hurry than them. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change things without even sacrificing. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did fulfill His promise to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it started 1,441 years ago. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens that first door of victory and opening to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate from Mecca to Medina. 13 years in Mecca. 13 years in Mecca. Facing and encountering all sorts of torture, all sorts of torments, all sorts of punishments, all sorts of persecution. But then after 13 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the first door of opening and victory. And that is to migrate from Mecca to Medina. Migrate from Mecca to Medina. On your way to a new city, establish Islam there and have the upper hand. And have the majority of Muslims there. And rule by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it wasn't just that. Yes, that was only the first key and the first door to opening. But more to come. It wasn't just move to Medina. Everything would just come sweet and smooth. They migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the migration itself is so big and so great. Many examples that we learn from that migration that teaches us the true sacrifice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. The true sacrifice that they had sacrificed for Allah and the Messenger of Allah and the religion of Allah. The true sacrifice. Islam is about sacrifice. Not about your comfort. Not about getting what you want. Not about always getting things the way you want. It's not about what you want, what I want. It's about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. There's got to be some sacrifice from time to time. And I reflect upon the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Sahaba. During that moment when they are being persecuted, during that moment when they are being tortured, during that moment when they are being punished and killed, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, have patience and don't rush. Have patience and don't rush. And that's why my brother in Islam, look around the world, what's going on? Every country that you look at, most of the Muslims around the world have been persecuted. We are losing track of the different Muslim nations which are being persecuted. By the time you think something's been sorted out, something's settling somewhere, something new emerges. Whether you talk about Palestine or what's happening in any other Muslim country. And recently we're talking about Muslims in East Turkestan. Now you've got Muslims in Kashmir. And all around the world, and I'm losing track. Muslims have been persecuted all around the world. And people and Muslims are just always looking around saying, when is the victory of Allah? Well, the victory of Allah is near. It's there. But you need to strive for it. You need to sacrifice. You can't just always sit and complain and do nothing. You need to put time and effort. And during that process of you putting time and effort, you need to accept the fact that you're going to go. And you're going to come across some hurdles, you're going to come across some tests and trials. It's not going to come easy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give it to anyone easy, would have given it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam easy. And the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even get it easy. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in rush and hurry. You just want Allah's victory straight away. You have to sacrifice for that victory. You have to sacrifice for that opening. We need to put the time and effort into showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we deserve it. You're not going to go and reward the student in your class just because he's a student in your class. Earn it. Study hard, pass the exam, be disciplined in class, I'll give you the reward at the end. Not just because I'm Muslim, I expect it to come. It doesn't work that way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't work that way with Allah azza wa jalla. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in rush and hurry. And subhanAllah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing the Sahaba Those who had sacrificed everything they've got in their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, great examples were portrayed. Great examples were displayed by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum during their journey. One of them is Suhayb al-Rumi. Suhayb al-Rumi is one of those companions. He's originally from Rome, that migrated from Rome to Mecca, and he was a carpenter. So he worked hard in Mecca and he saved a lot of money. He became wealthy after he arrived in Mecca because he had a trade that not many people from Mecca had. And then he decided to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, he also migrated on his own. But before his migration from Mecca to Medina, he decided to hide his wealth somewhere in Mecca. So he pursued him, the people of Mecca, and they managed to cross paths with him along the way of his journey to Medina. When they stopped him, he was known to be a very good, sharp arrow shooter. So when they came, or they were about to come near him, he took his arrows out and he's about to start shooting them. And he said, "By Allah, every single one of you knows how accurate I am when it comes to shooting arrows." So they said to him, "You came to us as a poor man, and you managed to compile and save a lot of money off our backs, and now you just think we're going to let you go and migrate from Mecca to Medina and follow your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just let go of you like that?" He said, "Would you let go of me if I told you where my wealth is? Would you let go of me if I told you exactly what I've hidden my wealth in, exactly hidden my wealth?" So they said yes. So he told them exactly and precisely where I had hidden his wealth. And he went and he continued his journey to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam of this great sacrifice of Suhayb al-Rumi. And his nickname was Abu Yahya. So upon the arrival of Suhayb al-Rumi to Medina and entering the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and before even the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam speaks to Suhayb, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraces, and in Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam welcomes Suhayb al-Rumi with a big smile, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam says, "Rabih al-Bay'a Aba Yahya," Abu Yahya, which is the nickname of Suhayb, Abu Yahya had succeeded in his trade and transaction. Allah informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the sacrifice of Suhayb al-Rumi. He had given up his wealth just to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What wealth we're talking about? We're talking about immense wealth here. We're talking about a lot of money here. He had worked so hard for many years, but he had given up that for the sake of Allah and the pleasure of Allah just to be in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah gave him victory. Allah gave him victory because they were willing to give up anything for the sake of Allah. They used to always aim for the best, the maximum. What's the maximum I can give for Allah? What's the maximum I could do for Allah? What's the maximum I could sacrifice for Allah? As opposed to ask, what's the minimum I could give? What's the minimum? Always looking at the minimum. Always looking at the smallest things that we can give for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Always looking at ways and avenues for us to cut it short. But then, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, no, it's always the maximum. What's the best I can do? What's the best I could deliver? What's the best I could sacrifice? With us, what's the minimum? What's the minimum? What's the minimum? To the extent people so many times ask me the question, Shaykh, is it fard or sunnah? Akhi, it's sunnah. Oh, I've been praying this sunnah all this time and it's not obligatory. As if it's a big shock in his life. I've been praying sunnah all this time. It's like, subhanAllah, we're always looking for shortcuts. The easy way out. What the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu was all about, what's the maximum they could give for Allah? On the top of all this, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ يَا people rush and hurry. What would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about us? My brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always fulfill His promise. During our time, before our time, after our time, to the Day of Judgment. The promise of Allah is there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised that the truth will prevail during every time and era. So I'm not really worried about the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being fulfilled or not, because Allah azza wa jalla will fulfill His promise. I'm worried about my role, about my sacrifice, What do I do to be part of that role? To be part of that promise? As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did sacrifice, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum did sacrifice. And we want Islam to revive. And we want Islam to prosper everywhere. But you know what, my brother in Islam, the first place that you want Islam to revive, and you should have Islam to revive, is in your life. Revive Islam in your life. Revive Islam in your family's life. Revive Islam in your household. Before you start thinking of others, think of yourself. And subhanAllah, our nature as mankind, we want perfection for others, and we don't want other people to do the wrong thing, but it's alright for us to do whatever we want. Revive Islam in your life. And know that at the end of the day, it's all about sacrifice. So there are times that we will encounter in our lives. There are moments that will go through in our lives in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us through tests and trials. You need to be strong, not to fall. You need to be patient, not impatient. You need to be wise, not unwise. You need to be smart, not stupid. Because many times you'll get cornered. Don't be stupid in your reaction. That's part of the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you, to see your reaction. Are you patient? Are you wise? Are you perseverant? Right now, we're in a moment, we're in a position where we need to be sincere, patient, wise, perseverant, strong, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. Like that moment when Khabbab came and asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are people in rush and hurry. Stay patient. You are people in rush and hurry. Stay steadfast. You are people in rush and hurry. Be wise. My brothers in Islam, we need to have patience. We need to be strong. Not just fold our hands and wait for something to happen. You make something happen. Implement Islam in your life. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are worthy of it. Because it is that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to see those who are worthy of it. And you need to ask yourself that question, are you worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory to be granted to you? We as an ummah. Minimal sacrifice, minimal struggle, always complaining, so divided. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even give us victory? Are we worthy of it or not? Are you worthy of it or not? If it's not, then my brother in Islam, you need to start stepping it up and you need to start working towards being worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worthy of Allah azza wa jalla's victory. And it comes with sacrifice. I know I'm talking about things in general, and we need to be more detailed in what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. But the first thing that I need to start with as a Muslim is to revive Islam in my life. We always think of others. He should be good. He should be righteous. He should be pious. Well, what about yourself? Where's righteousness and piety in your life? He should be patient and he should be perseverant. What about you being patient and perseverant? It all starts from ourselves, from me as a Muslim. And that's why 1,541 years ago, it was that beginning of the opening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just because there was an opening, it doesn't mean the struggle ended. On the contrary, the struggle escalated. The struggle increased. The sacrifice now is more in demand. And if you look into the second phase of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the second phase of the Nubuwwah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, which is in Medina, you realize there was a lot more sacrifices and a lot more struggles were given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from amongst those who understand. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who sacrifice and struggle for the sake of Allah. 1,441 years ago, it was the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there's one thing that we should take out of this khutbah, is to learn the hijrah. And the great examples and lessons that we learn from the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to recognize that there is an Islamic calendar that's part of our identity. Many Muslims don't even know they've got their own Islamic calendar. And what year? When the Islamic year, 1441 years after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad, not the birth of the Prophet or the prophecy of the Prophet, even the death of the Prophet Muhammad. And the Sahaba chose to mark the first year of the Islamic calendar to be the hijrah year due to the importance of this great and remarkable event where the Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba migrated from Mecca to Medina.
Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny.
Inshallah, in Jannah.